Good morning. It is wonderful to greet you on this third Sunday in Lent. I'm Jeremy Africa, the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're joining us online through the church's live stream or whether you are in our sun-soaked sanctuary this morning, I welcome you to worship on behalf of all those who are helping to lead worship this morning. As we begin our time together, we do have a few announcements we'd like to highlight at this time. And we're going to lead off with Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director, who has a short-term music opportunity to share with you this morning.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to invite those of you who love to sing but don't want a long-term commitment to join our community choir that will be performing a piece at the Community Good Friday service. The information is on the screen for the service. This community choir is put together every year, and we put out an invitation to all of the churches in the area for them to participate. So our goal is to get 30 voices up front singing as one. So if you are interested, please see myself or Carla after the service, and we will get you more information and some music. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Next, we're going to turn to Pastor Bethany, who serves as our associate pastor, who has several announcements for us this morning. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have several announcements for us this morning. The first announcement that I have for us is that we have scholarship applications available. It is that time of year again, and they are available on our website under forms. If you go to fumcweb.org, you will find them there. There's one application, and those will be due on April 13th, and they will also be in the office as well. And the second announcement that I have for us is that it is Girl Scout Sunday today. And Girl Scouts embody service, leadership, and making the world a better place, something that we love. And they have been doing that since 1912. There are many troops here in Midland, and so we take time to honor them today. And we will be having a special fellowship time with some Girl Scout cookies included, I heard. Maybe even some Thin Mints. So we invite you to just be mindful of that and to celebrate all that Girl Scouts is about during our fellowship time this morning. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. So don't leave early in the closing hymn. I'm sure there will be plenty of Thin Mints to share and enjoy. Appreciate the family who's helping us celebrate scouting in our community today, the Girl Scouts. So thank you. So with that, there is a lot more that you might imagine that's happening in the life of the church. Encourage you to turn to your weekly e-blast, your weekly newsletter from the church. If you aren't yet receiving those, please reach out to the church office. Be happy to add you to our mailing list.
In the call to worship, either in the bulletin or on the screen. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountain are also his. It's his, for he made it, in the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
To join us with our opening hymn, we are doing a modern version of It Is Well With My Soul, so please follow the words on the screen. Thank you.
Forward. Hi, Violet. Hi, Alec. How's it going? Oh my goodness, here comes Nora.
Seriously, drinking with water. Probably something to do with plants. Could
I drink this?
You think it's to do with what? With plants?
Can I drink this?
You think we're going to talk about
I'm
plants?
Thirsty.
Oh, we have a lot of water in the classroom.
Okay,
we're all going to share water. But first, we got to.
In
just a minute, we're all going to go to Sunday school. Can you form a circle around me?
No.
Kind of a circle here. Come over here.
No.
Oh, thank you for humoring me. Hey, today we're going to talk about, what do you think this is? If I have it on a rope? If I have it on a rope. Well, let's imagine back in the day that it's not a basket. It is to fill water. It's got to be probably a what? A clay back in the Bible time? Do you think it was clay?
No, of course not.
What was it? What kind of material would you lower something
wood.
Down?
Wood.
It was wood? Oh, it could have been wood. You're right. I don't know.
Water.
Yeah, they did it down in a well, right? We're going to talk about how Jesus went on a journey, part of our mystery of Easter. And he sat down beside a well, and a stranger came up to him. Now, the interesting part about this, and they were going to try to carry the water back to the, right? They had to carry it, because they didn't carry a lot of water at one time. Anyway, she came up to him, and the interesting part about this is, Jesus was a Jew, and this was a Samaritan. And back then, unfortunately, which I don't agree with now, but they were not very friendly to each other. So we are going to talk about that, and it's from John 4 is what it's from. And our verse today is, we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. So John 4:42b. All right, we're going to do a responsive prayer. I'm sorry, I didn't bring my board so you could see what the response is, but maybe you guys can memorize this. So I'm going to say something, and you're going to say that you guys are going to say, teach us something new today. You want to practice? Teach us something new today. Can you respond to that?
Teach us something new today.
Good. Good job. All right. Jesus, you never seem to like walls that separate people. Jesus, it is easy to judge others, but you never ask us to do that.
Teach us something new today.
Is there anyone you don't welcome?
Teach us something new today.
Truly, you are the Savior of the world.
Teach us something new today.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall.
As we come to a time of offering, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pews. We love to know who's here. We love to get to know our neighbors. If you don't know someone who's sitting in your pew, take a look as the pad comes back your way. And then as the ushers come forward, I also invite you to just reflect on where you've seen God this week, where he has been present with you. Will the ushers please come forward? God, we give you thanks for who you are, and we know that all that we have been given, or all that we have to give, is all that we have been given from you. Lord, bless these gifts and use them as you see fit. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 23, and it's the first three verses. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've shared with you before that mine is bad. Admittedly, remarkably bad. I'm referring to my innate sense of rhythm. Yes, I'm sure it's evident when we're in worship and our praise team or our chancel choir has us swaying or clapping and I'm trying to go in line, but it eludes me. Yes, it shows up there, but the fact of the matter is it seeps, this lack of rhythm seeps into other facets of my life. Take, for example, this past summer when Cara, my wife, and Andrew, my son, we took our son Andrew to the Dude Perfect live show in Grand Rapids. Now, if you're not raising a elementary school student or middle school student, you might not know who Dude Perfect is. Dude Perfect is a group of five guys, five college friends who create kid-friendly content on social media. Yes, I understand that there's a certain irony here, given last week's message on trying to cut down on our consumption of social media. But note, I am preaching balance, not abstinence here. So there we were before the Dude Perfect live show in a sold-out Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids. And there's about 12 to 13,000 packed into this arena. And there are spotlights and there are special fleck lightings going off all over the arena. And yes, there's a live DJ who clearly they are tasked with hyping up the crowd. So inevitably, you guessed it, we get to a point in the pre-show and the DJ instructs the crowd of mostly adolescents and their parents to wave their hands in the air as if they just don't care. And so there's Andrew. He's excited. He's into the show. He's getting ready. And he's doing as the DJ suggests. And I'm just hoping as he waves his hands in the air and bobs his head along with the music and the crowd, I am just hoping that he doesn't look to his right. I am hoping he doesn't look to his father and to see me content clasping my hands in front of me. But no such luck, right, Andrew? Andrew looks to his right and he notices and he does his very best to get me, to get his dad, to join the other 13,000 waving their hands in the air. Already it's making me uncomfortable, as if I just don't care. More so than exercising here a conjured up sense of humility, I'm speaking the truth. And I lack any real sense of rhythm. And where it comes to living life, as Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase of Matthew chapter 11, I struggle with living my life according to the unforced rhythms of God's grace. I struggle with this. And I imagine in our hurried world and in our distracted world and in our media-saturated world that I'm not alone in struggling to live according to the unforced rhythms of God's grace. But if we are talking about beauty, specifically the beauty of God's creation, well then, I find my soul is more apt to pick up on life's better rhythm than that of our Creator. As we continue in Lent and with our Lenten study of John Eldridge's Get Your Life Back, we consider today nature's role in restoring our soul. In his book, Eldridge is inviting us to consider simple day-to-day practices that help us to live the life that God intends, to live more freely and lightly as Jesus invites us to live. And so last Sunday, we considered Eldridge's invitation to simply unplug. If you were here last Sunday, if you were worship here on last Sunday, you might remember we took down four tips, right? You remember what they were? They were walking away from our cell phones when? After 8. It was keeping what out of our bedrooms? Our technology, our phones. It was turning somewhere else other than our smartphones to start the day, and it was choosing that we would respond to our phones when we choose and not simply when it buzzed, right? Did anybody try that? Yeah? Did you notice something different in your day, in your week? Perhaps. Today on this third Sunday in Lent, Eldridge reminds us of the restorative role of nature, of how nature's beauty can create restoration in our soul. And wow, do we need it! According to a study published in 2001, which Eldridge cites, the average person now spends blank percent of their life indoors. Want to guess how much? How much of our lives are we spending indoors? 60%? 75%? How about 93%? 93%. And here's what it means. As of 2024, our life expectancy in the United States is right at 79 years. And so in one's lifetime, at the rate of spending 93% of our lives indoors, we will have spent nearly 73 and a half years indoors. 73 and a half years indoors, while only a precious 5.5 years outdoors. It's quite staggering if we think about it. And even more so when we stop to consider all that God proclaims through creation. John Eldridge points out that beauty has a way of speaking to our healing in our souls. According to Eldridge, the beauty we encounter in nature reminds us that goodness still exists in our world. That creation's beauty reminds us that goodness will either prevail, be preserved, or somehow outlast all harm and darkness. Who needs a reminder of that from day to day? Right? Who needs a reminder that goodness will prevail? That goodness still exists. And that beauty also has a way of singing to us what Eldridge calls songs of abundance. Who's ever taken a walk through a forest or seen a mountain vista or be at a lakefront or at an oceanfront and recognize that there's an abundance in the one who has created this? Yes? Eldridge writes, "Beauty reassures us of abundance, especially that God is absolutely abundance in goodness and in life. Beauty reassures us there is plenty of life to be had." Perhaps a child's utterings remind us of life's abundance. According to another study cited by Eldridge, this one in 2015 and published in Harvard Medicine's magazine, research shows that patients recovered faster, needed fewer painkillers, and left the hospital sooner if what? What would cause that? That they recovered faster, that they needed fewer painkillers, and they left the hospital sooner if they had a window view that allowed a view of nature. Beauty has a way of healing us. Beauty has a way of resetting our soul. The 23rd Psalm is arguably one of the most familiar passages from the Old Testament, if not the entire Bible. And despite this, biblical scholars have long debated its origins. Some argue it was written by King David himself, Israel's greatest king. They say that Psalm 23 points to the time when David and his followers eluded the treacherous plots of his own son Absalom. But others contend that this particular psalm, this favorite psalm of ours, was penned in David's name. In other words, this poem is more or less attributed to David because of its style and content. This was the practice back in that day. With this, they argue that the 23rd Psalm has more to do with our faith journeys as believers and in general, and not just so much David's own experience. Either way, perhaps what resonates with us so much in this beloved psalm is the way it speaks to the abundant and restorative nature of God in God's way. The abundant and restorative nature of God in God's way, where pastures are green, and where souls are restored, and where our cup overflows. In line with his assertions about beauty in God's creation, Eldridge makes note of where God takes David to restore his soul. We heard this in the reading of Scripture. We heard this in the chancel choir's anthem. Reading now from the 23rd Psalm in the NIV, the New International Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Eldridge goes on to contend that God could have taken David anywhere for rest and restoration. God could have taken David to his palace. He could have taken him to the home or the company of family and or friends, or even as Eldridge and yet, where is God leading David here? To restore David's soul, to help David once again recover life's better rhythm and that of his Creator. By the green pastures and the still waters. And so here's the practices, here's the tangible tips that Eldridge gives us this week to reset our rhythm, to reset our soul. If you wish, you can write them down once again in your bulletin or on a pew envelope. They're pretty simple. You might just remember them. Very simply, get in touch with nature every day by getting outside. By getting outside. You know, I'm not prescribing that anybody go run an ultra marathon unless you're already able to do that. Get outside for a 10-minute walk. After lunch today, you might not feel that spring in your step because we sprung our clocks an hour ahead of time, so you might be dragging a little bit. Instead of answering the call of the lazy boy, right? Take a 10-minute walk outside. A walk doesn't sound good. We have plenty of sticks that have fallen throughout winter, right? Take 10 minutes to pick up sticks. This is coming from somebody. I don't like getting my hands dirty. I just confess. But there's something to feeling nature. There's something to seeing nature. There's something to smelling nature. And there's something to hearing nature. But maybe you can't get outside. So what might we do? Bring nature inside. Bring nature inside. You don't have to be Master Gardener. You don't even need green thumbs. Google, AI, I have a south-facing window. Give me a very, very hardy plant that I can't kill. And bring nature inside. There is something about bringing nature's beauty inside. It's patterns, its colors, its shapes. And having that to look upon. As I've shared, I have a collection of houseplants that I'm trying to keep alive. Pleased to share, they're all doing well. You saw them a couple months ago. And it's sitting now, right now, in my office in the parsonage, in front of a window, and I got these grow lights that help it grow. And I have my morning devotional time. And so as the sun is rising, I see the silhouettes of these houseplants. And they're all kind of growing together now. And there's a certain beauty in them. And there's a certain abundance in seeing these plants bring beauty inside. Finally, pause and let beauty minister to you. Okay, this is not run on your treadmill and look at beauty, right? This is pause. This is take a pace that allows you to drink in nature's beauty and what God is abundantly sharing with you. And so we're going to try this morning. We'll give you an opportunity to experience this right here in worship. A little bit like last Sunday, I've asked Gabrielle if she'll play music during our prayer time together. And if you're visiting us for the first time here, you might not know this, but our practice is for me to lead us in prayer during the congregational or the pastoral prayer time. But I've asked Gabrielle to play a familiar hymn to many of us. And during this time, I invite you through your thoughts, through your minds, through your recollections and memories, to go to a place where you appreciate God's beauty. It might be somewhere here in town. It might just be over at the Tridge during the summertime and the grass is lush. It might be a special trip you took, a hike, a mountain vista, an ocean front. As Gabriel's playing, invite you to take your mind there and take your prayer there. You know, we have a blessing here in this sanctuary that Alden Dow, the designer of this sanctuary church, has brought beauty inside. That's why we have the plants, and that's why we have the green carpeting, that's why we have the skylight in the middle, and the windows all around the sanctuary to soak in beauty. Perhaps your way is going to be to keep your eyes open and to look at the memorial garden that has plants that endure winter or are coming back this spring. If you're on the pool side, you just might reflect on the still waters. However you choose to use this prayer time and this quiet in the sanctuary, I invite you to invite God to pour healing into your life, to pour restoration. As you think about nature's beauty, invite God to step into your life and to do a restorative work in you. After some time in silent prayer or meditation, I'll call us back in leading us in prayer and in the Lord's Prayer. Well, let us pray and let us receive God's restorative beauty. Heavenly Father, this is your world. And you have filled it with your beauty. You have filled it with the unforced rhythms of your grace. And you have filled it with your presence. And Lord, with your presence and your knowledge of us, you know the tattered edges of our lives. Whether it's come from the schedules we try to keep, the events of our world, times of trouble, times of struggle, seasons of loss and grief and sorrow. We lift ourselves, loved ones, your church, our community, our nation, and all the people of the world. And indeed, O God, pour into us your healing grace. Through all the means that you do so, and indeed through the beauty of your creation. Help us to be especially attuned to that in this week to come. All this we pray in the very name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. You'll find this on page 128 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. This morning we'll be singing verses 1 through 3. I still believe God's still doing this. That God's leading us. And leading us to places of restoration and rest and healing. And sometimes when God is doing this, I believe God's taking our hand and leading us outside into God's creation, into God's beauty, where it's possible to reset, restore, and revive. So let's get outside. God is gifting us here in Midland with a day of 60-degree weather and sunshine today and tomorrow. Let us get outside and be reminded that the world is good, that we are good, and that God is good. Amen. Amen.